You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to our award-winning broadcast, the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, Saturday, June 7th. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, I guess it's Saturday, June 7th, in most places in the world as we broadcast live this evening. Great to have you with us. I'll be flying solo here on the program for the rest of the night. Keith Alexander off to another engagement. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will not be in during his customary third hours tonight because he is attending a wedding in Arkansas for one of the young ladies that goes to his church, and he was very excited to do that. And he will be back next week, and he is going to be loaded for bear next week. He is going to be bringing on a guest who we hold in very high esteem, going to be talking about a very big topic. So I won't go into too much detail on that right now, but next week, another dynamite show already in the works and being planned. But I've got a lot to say for the remainder of the program tonight, so listen up. And our featured guest is still forthcoming. It will be Nathaniel Strickland. He is the owner and chief editor of faithandheritage.com. Faithandheritage.com, it's a website that, very much like this program in its essence, ties in some of the most critical issues facing our people, the issues you're not supposed to be allowed to talk about or think about freely, and addresses them from a Christian perspective. And we're going to be talking to Nathaniel about that. Plus, he will be offering us his expert take on the European elections. And I'll give you Nathaniel's complete bio when we welcome him to the show in about 30 minutes' time. But first, getting back quickly to what could potentially be a response to the stories that we were covering in the first hour and many other problems like them. The fact that the mayor of Houston, of course, has issued a decree. The lesbian mayor of Houston has issued this decree saying that all restrooms now, all public restrooms in Houston now, you can go into, well, you can go into the man's room if you're a woman, or the woman's room if you're a man, as long as you feel as though you are that gender. So there's that. A Wisconsin judge became the latest in a long string of judicial tyrants to strike down a state constitutional referendum banning gay marriage. And then, of course, the Marriott ad campaign to pouring in millions and millions of dollars to reach out to homosexual couples and, God help us, their kids, you know, obviously adopted kids, but these Franken families. And it's just disgusting. But what we saw in Europe last week gives us some hope, certainly, that you can overcome these heinous ideas, and that despite all of the propaganda, people are still thinking for themselves in Europe, and certainly they think for themselves here too. I think fundamentally, as we say so often, the vast majority of Americans would still agree, to varying degrees, but agree more than not with the tenets of this radio program. And in California, perhaps we are seeing a potential solution present itself. Voters in California this week are going to be contemplating forming a new state. So we would call that flirting with secession. And we talked about secession and its merits with Brad Griffin last week of the Occidental Dissent website. But secession is an idea that should certainly remain on the table as an option, and not even a nuclear option, perhaps the first option to break away from a government that no longer represents the people. That's a first option as far as I'm concerned. And perhaps this idea, an idea that was embraced by my ancestors in the War for Southern Independence, will once again find its time here in this country. Out of Sacramento, California, the Associated Press reports residents of California's largely rural, agrarian, and politically conservative far northern counties long ago got used to feeling ignored in the state capital and out of sync with major urban areas. Imagine that. The idea of forming their own state has been a topic among local secession dreamers for more than a century. Residents in two counties will have a chance to voice that sentiment this week. Voters in Del Norte and Tehama, with a combined population of about 91,000 people, will decide on an advisory measure that asks each of the county's board of supervisors to join a wider effort to form a 51st state named Jefferson. So wrap your minds around this, ladies and gentlemen. This is no longer just an obscure notion. This is something that is being seriously contemplated. Now, I don't know how far this particular case will go. I hope it goes far. I hope it goes to the limit, because God knows in California, particularly in the American Southwest, they need to consider breaking away from this out-of-control federal government that is giving their land away to illegal aliens. But this is encouraging to me, folks. The seven counties that have voted or will vote during the month of June that are considering this secession idea there, I mentioned that two of those counties will vote this week, but in total, seven counties are considering seceding and forming this hypothetical state of Jefferson. And those seven counties have a combined geographic area twice the size of New Hampshire, with about 500,000 residents. And here's where it becomes really interesting. The terrain spans some of California's most majestic coastal scenery to flat inland terrain, Mount Shasta and Redwood National Parks. Some of its residents are also among the state's poorest, and the population is far different from California as a whole. While the state has no racial majority, California that is, and Hispanics make up the largest ethnic group. Did you hear that, folks? People that have no interest in assimilating, have no respect for the laws of this country, have no respect for our history, our heroes, our culture, our language. They are, Hispanics, the largest ethnic group in the state of California. That is scary, and it's shameful that, once again, our elected officials are picking and choosing which laws. You know, it's a felony to cross the border, but who cares? Because it plays into political correctness. They want to displace the historical majority of this country, and so that law can be broken. But you try breaking a law and see what happens. But anyway, Hispanics make up the largest ethnic group in California, but the residents in these seven counties that are flirting with secession are overwhelmingly white, so reads the AP article. So what we have here basically is a very healthy thought process from basically what would, I guess you could call, white farming communities. And they're saying, hey, the state of California, the government of this state, taking our money, taking our tax dollars and redistributing it to the so-called urban areas, and you know what that's about, right? Why wouldn't they want to think about an alternative? I am very excited about this, folks, and I'll talk more about it when I come back. Stay tuned.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Wrapping up my thoughts on the proposed secession of these counties in California, the northern area of California, where it's more rural, white residents. And, you know, secession fever, as I wrote on at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, is beginning to spread to many regions such as this, and not just in America, although there are places like in Colorado. Some counties in Colorado wanted to secede from liberal Denver, for instance, and you see this cropping up again with increasing regularity, but it's not just here. You look at what's going on in Scotland, of course, in Crimea, with Russia and the Ukraine. We've talked about that extensively in recent months here on the show, and it's just, you know, it is perfectly natural and healthy to want to live and work and be governed by those with whom you share similar values, faith, and heritage. And this, of course, ties back into the radical homosexual agenda that the judiciary and the government and the entertainment apparatus in this godforsaken country have embraced. Why wouldn't you want to think about alternatives such as this? Completely legal and above board. You know, and I asked this question last week too, but wouldn't a country made up of the old Confederacy in states like Oklahoma and Utah, even this, you know, if they can get the state of Jefferson implemented out there in California, you know, certainly that would be vastly superior to the New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. axis of evil that currently controls our rudder. We know, it's beyond doubt, that the federal government is criminally corrupt. I use that term often because I think it's a perfect way to describe what it is, and that the will of the voters can be overturned with the stroke of a pen. So why pretend that this is our country anymore? It's not our country, it's theirs. And because we don't have a country, secession should be seriously considered. All people deserve a country, including us. Well, I have, you know, the NBA Finals is going on right now, if you didn't know. And it's the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat, LeBron James. And it's just a big spectacle, of course, because it's the championship series of one of the four major sports. And since the NBA is still in the spotlight, really more than ever, before this year with the finals, this is the highlight of the NBA season as far as the sport goes. And I was You still hear stories about Donald Sterling pop up. Of course, Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, the Jewish owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, to be exact, was taped illegally by his mistress. And in this conversation, supposedly a racist rant, all he said was that he didn't want her hanging all over black people in public. Now, that seems pretty reasonable to me. If it's your wife or girlfriend or mistress, it seems pretty reasonable to ask them not to hang over black men and in public and embarrass you like that. He didn't call them the N-word. And even if he did, as rude as it may be, does he deserve to have his $2 billion piece of property, his sports franchise, stolen from him, as the NBA is doing to supposedly appease the false gods of political correctness and these black malcontents that play on these teams? Well, that's what's going on, and you know about that because that, too, is a story we have covered fairly extensively on the show in recent weeks. But it is pretty much a done deal now. It looks as though he's being forced out, forced to sell his team, because he said something that the NBA didn't like. Didn't really say anything offensive at all, if you listen to the tape, as far as I'm concerned. But here's the thing. Oh, and by the way, I got a real kick out of this. Because he said that he didn't want his mistress hanging all over black people in public, he said, by the way, that she could even have sex with him. He just didn't want him hanging on him in public. But according to the NBA reported that mental health professionals have declared Donald Sterling to be mentally incompetent. So now you can be clinically diagnosed with mental incompetence if you suggest that your girlfriend shouldn't hang all over other men in public. And so Donald Sterling is being forced out. Just this week, though, now you compare these two stories, what Donald Sterling said versus, and this I could have drawn 100 different examples. This is just the most recent example. But right here in Memphis, one of the Memphis Grizzlies basketball players, a black basketball player by the name of James Johnson, he was arrested last night for domestic assault, causing bodily harm, according to the Shelby County, Tennessee's Sheriff's Office. So here's this black player, and I got a picture of him pulled up here. He's got tattoos all over his neck and all over his arms, and of course, he does. He beat his wife, according to what I'm reading here, allegedly, I guess I've got to say, legally speaking, but I mean, he hit her in the face and choked her while she was holding their infant child. This guy will not be drummed out of the league. This guy will not be forced to retire. He will not, nothing's going to happen to him. It's going to be a blip on the radar. You know, this kind of behavior from black athletes is not uncommon at all. It happens at least once a month. You'll see a story about this, about them breaking laws. Donald Sterling broke no law, and he's being forced out. Well, this guy, well, all he did was beat, I'm reading from this story here. Punched a hole in the bathroom door where this woman was waiting, holding their child, caused her bodily harm, and then the woman was able to escape and run from the scene. He had been drinking at home earlier that night. So, you know, but no big deal, because he didn't say anything that violated the discourse implemented by political correctness. So, you know, NBA players breaking the laws, having run-ins like this, you know, to me, this is obviously and without question a much, much, much serious cause for concern than anything Donald Sterling has ever done. This is a crime. But the NBA, hey, this isn't a big deal. Well, that's how he's supposed to act, right? That's just urban thug culture. That's typical, and there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Well, as you know, it is more typical than you might imagine. We have a great article at thepoliticalcesspool.org, Confessions of a Public Defender, written obviously by a public defender, and it's a pretty extensive piece. I won't read it all, but I'll just read a couple of paragraphs from it. Michael Smith is the author. He writes, I'm a public defender in a large southern metropolitan area. Fewer than 10% of the people in the area that I serve are black, but over 90% of my clients are black. The remaining 10% are mainly Hispanics, but there are a few whites. As a lawyer, I believe the official story that blacks were law-abiding, intelligent, family-oriented people, but they were just so poor that they had to turn to crime to survive. Actual black behavior was a shock to me. The media invariably sugarcoat black behavior. Even the news reports of the very crimes I deal with in the court were slanted. Television news intentionally leaves out unflattering facts about the accused and sometimes omits names that are obviously black. All this rocked my liberal, tolerant beliefs, but it took me years to set aside my illusions and accept the reality of what I see every day. I've now served thousands of blacks and their family, protecting their rights and defending them in court. What follow are my observations, and I would encourage you to read this article in its entirety. It is an eye-opening and honest piece written by a public defender who knows all about the criminal makeup of American society and what racial groups predominate in crime. He writes, of course, that blacks are only a small percentage of the community, but the courthouse is filled with them. The halls and gallery benches are overflowing with black defendants, families, and crime victims. Most whites with business in court arrive quietly, dress appropriately, and keeps their heads down. They get in and get out as fast as they can. For blacks, the courthouse is a carnival. They seem to know each other, hundreds and hundreds each day, gossiping, laughing loudly, waving, and crowding the halls. And keep in mind, folks, these are observations from a self-described liberal who didn't want to believe what he saw with his eyes and ears. But folks, let the truth be told, and we're letting it be told here on The Political Cesspool. We'll come back. Read that article, though, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's entitled Confessions of a Public Defender. And we'll be back with our featured guest for tonight right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of The Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture.
Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I'm real happy to bring to the program tonight a man that I have a great deal of respect for. He is the owner and chief editor of one of my very favorite websites, faithandheritage.com. The one and only Nathaniel Strickland received both his BS in political science with a minor in economics and his MBA from Clemson University. Listen to this, folks. He has ancestors who fought with the Patriots in the American Revolution, with the Texans at the Alamo, and with the Confederacy in the war for Southern independence. That is a very fine pedigree indeed. Nathaniel, welcome back to the political cesspool.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, you're very welcome. I know that we had been talking for the last couple of weeks of having you on to break down your excellent analysis of the elections in Europe, and we're certainly going to take our time to do that over the course of the next half hour. But first, I want to quickly focus on the work of your website, Faith and Heritage, because what really excites me about that, and I've said it before on this show, you know, I'm happy to have listeners all around the world that perhaps subscribe to different faiths, but still support our work based upon our views on the issues, and I'm always happy to work with those people. And sometimes it is easier to work with people of a different faith but are right thinking politically than it is to go to some of these big churches, even my very own Southern Baptist denomination, and go to these churches and you just see them just cowing to political correctness in any way that they can, and really abandoning what I consider to be the faith of our fathers. But in a perfect world, I it would be nice if I guess everybody was like me. I guess everybody wants to be have people be like themselves. But to be a Bible-believing Christian and still have a very healthy understanding of the elements that make this show go, and that is, of course, racial realities and Jewish power and influence, that's the way I was raised, and it didn't harm my understanding of these things. And I think that you incorporate that into your work as well, Nathaniel, but if you don't mind, tell us exactly what the mission and purpose of Faith and Heritage is.
Oh, sure. Well, it's in the name of the site, that we approach issues that affect our heritage from a perspective of faith, and particularly faith in the one true Christian God. We're mainly Protestant in our approach, but I feel that, and I've been told by Catholics and Orthodox that they agree with most of what we do as well. And it's really sad that the Christian Church has kind of aligned itself treasonously with forces that want to wipe out the race that basically carried the faith for upwards of 1,700 years. This is a relatively recent development. Part of the work we do on the site is we go back and we look through the work of prominent pastors in the early 20th century and the back to the 19th century, and you know the views that are expressed on this show and are expressed on the Faith and Heritage site. You know, those were the standard views. Those were the mainstream views of everyone. Except for, you know, radical Unitarians, radical Marxists, radical abolitionists before 1920. And then even after 1920, you get up into 1960, 1970, and mainstream conservatives are still talking about these issues. They're talking about how racial amalgamation is sinful. It attacks the Trinitarian nature of God and the distinctions that he put into nature. So, you know, the past 40 or 50 years have been a great aberration when it comes to what Christians believe and what the Christian faith holds to. And so as part of the mission of our side, showing people who look around and can see the truth of the issues that we're talking to and yet talking about, and yet maybe hold to the traditional Christian faith and are trying to reconcile the two. And part of our mission of our side is reconciling these two views for people and showing them that they are compatible and, in fact, have been compatible for every all of Christendom. Emperor Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire all the way up to, 1950, 1960, 1970.
I've articulated a lot of those same observations that you've shared on this program as well. And it's, I'll reiterate again what I said earlier is that, certainly I appreciate people. We have very intelligent listeners of this program. I would say the majority of our audience is certainly Christian in some shape, form, or fashion. But there are some very intelligent members of our audience, including some donors that donate every quarter that take issue with me on matters of faith. And they quite rightly look at the faith over the course of the last 50 years and can draw a conclusion, or at least 30 or 40 years can draw a conclusion that it has damaged our people to some extent. And I'm talking not about the faith as it is written in the Bible itself, but certainly how it's interpreted, because the radical egalitarians that have taken over our colleges and universities and our government and our entertainment, they didn't forget the seminaries, right? I mean, they certainly know that that is a institution of influence, and so they have preferred it, the seminaries that train the next generation of pastors and ministers to a great extent as well. And so, yes, it has fallen. Standards have fallen with the way the Bible is interpreted, and you see the church is trimming their sails to avoid controversy. But that certainly wasn't the way it was done in the South in really the lifetime of a lot of our audience and your readers. And I think that we can get that back. And the tagline, or the subtitle, I guess you might say, of Faith and Heritage is Occidental Christianity for Preserving Western Culture and People. And you can be, I guess what I'm trying to bring into sharp focus here is that you can be a devout Christian and still be an ethno-nationalist. And in fact, we could spend an hour, Nathaniel, and perhaps we should have you on for a series, because this is a topic that is very personal and intimate and passionate to me. When you can have a synthesis of your faith and your politics and they not be in contradiction, I think it's just great. And I certainly see our work as having done that, and yours as well. But you have there one of your must-read articles, featured articles, A Biblical Defense of Ethno-Nationalism. Other articles, people, you can find at faithandheritage.com, and I've got it pulled up here at the radio station right now. Who Does America Belong To? The Reality of Race. Tackling these questions from a Christian perspective, I think, is quite healthy. And you do it, I think, as well as anyone, to say the least, Nathaniel, and that certainly this is the website of record for blending our issues with our religion, and it's a good thing. And I wanted to certainly spend a few minutes here at the top of this interview bringing that to the attention of the audience and encouraging them to check that out if they're interested in such commentary. But Biblical Defense of Ethno-Nationalism, certainly a must-read, wouldn't you say?
And definitely, that's why we have it linked to permanently on the edge of the site. And I appreciate the kind words. I definitely agree with you. What you said, and I'd even go a step further and say that Christianity demands our understanding of how nations and societies are supposed to work, and that the current understanding of those issues pushed by what passes for the modern church is basically constitutes a different religion.
Well, that's very well. It's the state religion now of this country, which is, of course, political correctness. People believe that when you're talking about separation of church and state, I wish we could separate from the state religion of this country now, because it is no longer Christianity. I mean, Jesus Christ is mocked and ridiculed and defamed, every day in the media. But you try to mock and ridicule political correctness, and you'll have raised the seventh level of hell in terms of the response that you'll receive from the regime. So, you know, while Christianity is certainly alive and well in the hearts of many millions of Americans, not the ones that are in power. But anyway, it's a beautiful website, folks, faithandheritage.com. In fact, the most recent article dealt with Nathaniel himself writes about the unisex restrooms phenomenon, which we were talking about at the top of the show in the first hour. So be sure to check it out. Because, you know, is there any other website? And I'm asking this seriously because long ago, Faith and Heritage popped up on my radar many years ago. And I liked it for the reasons I've stated. But are there really any other websites? You would think with Christianity being still the major religion for European people, there would be more websites that really pointed out how politics and these matters are interrelated. But I'm not sure if there are, Nathaniel.
Well, a lot of the other kind of Kenneth-themed websites have kind of gone inactive due to, you know, personal issues. Privacy or Crown isn't being updated anymore. Spirit Water Blood isn't being updated anymore, unfortunately. Both those are great sites. We're great sites. Still have great material. You can find it. But and then, of course, there are nationalist, more nationalist sites that do talk about, you know,
Nathaniel,
Christianity.
Hang on right there. We got to take our break. When we come back, we'll let you finish answering the question. We're going to get to your article about the EU, which was the original intent for your appearance. So stay tuned, folks.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, moving right along with Nathaniel Strickland, our featured guest for the evening. He is, of course, the owner and chief editor at faithandheritage.com. And when he was talking before the break, the fact that there aren't many websites, if any at all, remaining on the Internet that tackle the issues from the perspective that Faith and Heritage does. And certainly as this radio program is unique as far as AM media is concerned in talking about the issues that we talk about, certainly Faith and Heritage would have an even bigger claim to be perhaps the only, and certainly the most prominent, talking about these issues on the whole Internet at all. But when I contacted Nathaniel a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was about a week ago now, to appear to break down his analysis of the EU elections, I had intended that to be the sole focal point of the interview, but then I was thinking, you know, it's been a while since we showcased Faith and Heritage, so I wanted you to have a firm understanding of what they were all about, and hopefully now that you do, you'll become a supporter and a daily reader. But Nathaniel, let's do get down to business here, or the business that we had intended. There really wasn't a lot of fanfare, certainly not to the extent that I believed there would be, based upon what happened here in American nationalist circles in response to the European elections. In fact, there wasn't that big of a response at all. There was definitely a good article on American Renaissance written by Adrian Davis, a barrister in the UK, and the Occidental Observer has come up with a couple of good pieces, and yours was the first that I read, Europe Votes and Cracks Appear in the EU's Foundation. That was the title of your piece there for Faith and Heritage. Let me just first ask you this question. How big of a deal was it? Am I perhaps embellishing the significance of it, or is it something that we should invest hope in, as I have been telling our audience we should?
Well, it's definitely a big deal, but it's more nuanced in the fact that it points towards positive trends rather than kind of putting up a sign that says mission accomplished.
Right, sure.
Because even in the countries where whether they be ethnic or civic nationalist parties won, they came in first place. They didn't win 51% of the vote because of the way proportional representation splits up the vote. So, you know, when you say UKIP won the English election, that the British election, that means they got 26% of the vote. So while it points to positive trends, doesn't necessarily mean victory. And I think that's kind of muted the response a little bit.
Well, and I think that you certainly put it into words in your article, is that EU elections, when people go in and vote their representatives to take a seat in the EU, it's more symbolic as opposed to having real power. The real power comes from winning elections in those respective countries, national elections, rather than just becoming a representative to the EU, correct? Could you break down the difference between winning a seat to the EU Parliament versus perhaps becoming, you know, Chancellor of Germany, for instance?
Sure. When you become a representative of the EU, you definitely get the spotlight. You definitely are able to propagate your views more widely. That's one of the positive elements of winning EU seat. But and this is one of the criticisms of the EU, is that a lot of the governance by the EU is done by unelected bureaucrats. And so the EU Parliament doesn't have nearly as much power as national parliament does. While nationalist parties are doing well, winning seats, getting representation is a positive thing. Each seat they won gets them about $1 million in funding per year from the EU. So there's actually been a lot of gnashing of teeth by the EU bureaucrats that are actually having to fund people that are rabidly against them. So that'll help them, nationalist parties that are notoriously underfunded. And it also kind of breaks the stigma of, normal people don't vote for, those skinheads. And so I won't because, I'm just a working class guy, or middle class guy who's concerned about these issues, but I want to be concerned associated with the radical fringe. So, you know, when a fourth of the country is voting for these national parties, that gives the signal for normal people that, hey, this is acceptable. And of course, it is acceptable. I'm not saying that it's not, but it's the perception there.
Yeah, right. Well, perception is the ultimate reality. I mean, that's an old saying, but there's a lot of truth to that. And the fact that they have broken through these right of center parties, these nationalist parties have broken through in a real way. It's encouraging. And I know I've been verbose in this interview so far, Nathaniel, so I really want to give you the opportunity to say everything you want to say. And I think we've certainly gotten a good start in this segment to kind of laying out what happened there and its significance. Break down in your own words your entire article, because I know you go into great detail to kind of point out in each of these individual countries who won, what they won, what it means. But basically break down your article from start to finish. I mean, obviously with 5 minutes to go, we can't get it all in, but the highlights.
Well, certainly. I try to cast kind of wide net in who I consider to be nationalist and Euroskeptic. Euroskeptic being people critical of the EU's centralization, all the way ranging up to wanting to leave the EU. And then civic nationalists being, you know, we have a culture and identity, but if anybody comes, immigrates, they can adopt this identity, but we need that identity all the way to over to only people of our bloodline should be living here. So I kind of cast a wide net on that definition. I break it down country. And overall, there's a lot of positives. One of the interesting trends is that Eastern European countries, nationalist parties, didn't do as well as Western European nationalist parties. And there are a lot of reasons for that I don't have time to go into. But if you look at the general trend, it's the countries that have been associated with the EU longest where the nationalist parties did the best, and the countries that have joined since 2000 where the nationalist parties are really struggling. And I think that's one of the most positive trends we can get out of this, is that the EU is having the opposite effect of what it said when it first formed. You know, when it was first formed as a trade partnership between France, Germany, and a couple of, you know, other Western European countries, it was formed, you know, to suppress extremism, to get rid of nationalism, to stop wars, stop conflict, and kind of that sort of thing. And it's having the opposite effect than what is advertised, because what it was advertised as is not actually what it is. And what it is it's a platform for tyrannical Marxism to kind of accomplish through cultural Marxism what the Soviet Union couldn't accomplish through its revolutionary Marxism. And so people are starting to see that, and the people who have been in the union the longest are kind of ahead of the curve. And hopefully this trend will continue. I think that's one of those positive things to get out of this.
And to varying degrees, these parties, many of them, are very explicit in the fact that, in no uncertain terms, they are nationalists. And you see the video at the bottom of your piece, Europe Belongs to Us, which we also featured on our website last week. And, I mean, they are speaking in no uncertain terms, as I just said, about what they represent. And make no mistake about it, the media was diametrically opposed to them and used all the, you know, inaccurate buzzwords to describe them that you would expect: bigot, xenophobe, racist, anti-Semitic, and all the toxic socio-political nuclear bombs they could throw at them to try to dissuade the people from voting for them. And the people saw through it. And so, yes, I mean, that has to be deemed to be encouraging to some extent, and we hope that they'll hold the line, because you would never see an American candidate running for either of the two parties here speak the way a lot of these candidates were speaking. And so let me ask you this, and I guess this would just be a best guess. I mean, no one can really know, but do you foresee these trends continuing when the vote for in these particular countries, the national vote comes up next?
I do, and I've tried to stay away from pinning EU's going to fall or in this particular year, or, you know, big predictions like that, because, you know, we're not God and we're not a mission and we can't see into the future. But in my article, I point out that in each of the subsequent years, there are events coming up that we look to that could be, you know, the catalyst. In 2015, we're going to have, you know, the UK Parliament, the National Parliament vote, and if UKIP does well, they can push through a referendum to leave the EU. You know, in 2016, Greece has its next parliamentary vote, and the establishment parties, the ones that are holding the entire country in the EU and under kind of a repressive austerity measures, they only got 31% of the vote in the EU election, which is huge. I mean, that they need at least 45% of the vote in the national election to put together a governing coalition. I mean, you know, I'm sure you covered back in 2012 how close Greece came to kicking off a huge crisis, and that was only averted because these parties were able to get the votes they needed. If they can't get the votes they need in 2016, that's right. Going to be major. And the French vote in 2017, and considering how well the National Front did in France, they came in first place with a quarter of the vote. You know, France is kind of France and Germany are kind of the linchpin of the entire EU, and if you know France decides to abandon the project, then that's going to be huge as well. So we got major events coming up in the next few years that are going to be pivotal for the future of the EU. So I won't pin a specific date on it, but there are definitely major events coming up.
Going in the right direction. Thank you, Nathaniel, for your time this evening and being our guest. And we look forward to the next time already. And folks, be sure to make faithandheritage.com among your daily reads. Nathaniel, have a great night, brother, and God bless.
There's more to come.
We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Radio Network.